Hi, I'm Ellie.
Hi, I'm Caroline.
We're Rogue Shul.
And our favorite thing is you.
Welcome to the Finding Favorites podcast, where we explore your favorite things without using an algorithm. Here's your host, Leah Jones.
Hello, friends. Welcome to a special Shabbat drop of Finding Favorites. I'm your host, Leah Jones. And this weekend is going to be a two-episode weekend because I got to talk to the two women behind the Twitter account Rogue Shul. Rogue Shul was started Rogue National Parks, Rogue Health Services, Rogue NHS. There were all these rogue government accounts started on Twitter. And so Rogue Shul was an anonymous humor account about life working at a Reform synagogue. And it's been a very fun follow. And a couple days ago, I saw a tweet where they said, you know, there's a season for everything, including unmasking our account. And so today I am interviewing Caroline and Ellie, who are the two women behind Rogue Shul. And in the world of small worlds, Ellie and I are both from Terre Haute, Indiana, and I am the same age as her younger brother, Adam. And so Adam and I reconnected, I don't know, MySpace maybe, definitely Facebook or Twitter, and became grown-up friends again. And he's been telling me for ages, oh, you got to talk to my sister Ellie. She works at a synagogue in Boston. She's an executive director. I think you'd have a lot to talk about. And we just never connected. Lo and behold, I found out part of the reason we didn't connect was she knew who I was on Twitter and did not want to, that if we became Facebook friends, then I might realize who she was behind the Twitter. So Caroline and Ellie and I hopped on Zoom this afternoon for a short conversation about running an anonymous Twitter account, life at a Reform synagogue, like life, their professional life after their Reform synagogue. They're about to start a consulting firm. I don't know. It was really fun getting to talk to the people behind one of my favorite Twitter accounts. Was a blast. So Shabbat Shalom. And enjoy this conversation with Caroline and Ellie, who are the two women behind Rogue Shul. Hello and welcome to Finding Favorites. I'm your host, Leah Jones. And as you know, usually this podcast is about interviewing people about their favorite things. But every once in a while, I get to interview the people who are my favorites. And one of the things I love most in the world is Twitter and how it has brought me together with some of my best friends and kept me in touch with people all over the world. And as a synagogue president of a Reform congregation, there's a Twitter account that I've been interacting with over the last year called Rogue Shul. And I had lots of suspicions of who it was. And then this week, the two people behind the Rogue Shul Twitter account unmasked themselves. And they're here on my podcast to talk about it. So here I am today with Ellie Goldman and Caroline Dorn. Ellie, how are you?
I am well.
Great. And Caroline, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you both here. Just for before we started recording, Ellie and I were doing some very small town Jewish geography of a micro level, because Ellie and I grew up in the same town in Indiana, and I am the same age as her younger brother, Adam. So hi, Adam. Welcome to your first podcast. So that was like a very fun small world thing because Adam is also on Twitter and we reconnected as adults. And I think sometimes he's very confused by the fact that like the non-Jewish girl from his science class is now president of a synagogue. And he for like the last couple years is like, you got to talk to my sister. You got to talk to my sister. And yep. So now we are talking. So first, for just a little bit of of place, time and place setting. Where are the two of you in the world today?
I am currently visiting my parents in Westchester, New York, where I grew up, but I live in Boston most of the time.
Great.
And I am in Framingham, Massachusetts.
Fantastic. And I'm, well, first of all, I'm going to assume people listening to this know what Rogue Shul is, but I thought it was like this group Twitter account that probably had like a dozen people submitting to it of people who worked at Reform synagogues. It was definitely very Reform in nature of people. It seemed like there were people of all sorts of roles who were concerned about life in Reform synagogues. And it was like this very funny, heartfelt take on what happens in a synagogue. And I found it, as a president of a synagogue, something that reminded, that helped me remember what our staff was probably going through. But how do you guys describe it? Caroline, how do you describe Rogue Shul to people now that you can talk about it?
That's a great question. Well, Rogue Shul started as a way for us to entertain ourselves, to have an outlet for some of the outlandish things that were happening. But it sort of evolved into this community of staff, Jewish staff professionals, Jewish communal professionals, people who care about the Jewish world, sort of us reflecting our thoughts about both things that were happening, that could happen in any synagogue, but also that were happening in the greater world, and offering support and building connection and community.
Great. And how did you know each other?
We work together. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Ellie.
No, I was just going to say we work together at a synagogue outside of Boston, and this sort of evolved one day through our work together as something that we thought might be funny. Mostly for ourselves, probably. And then it turned into an opportunity to kind of pull back the curtain on some of the things that are so unique and weird and fun about what it means to work in a synagogue, but also a way to kind of pour our heart out about how much meaning the work has and how raw it often is, in a way that you don't get to do on a resume or in a conversation about your work. We were able to be a lot more honest on all fronts, I think.
I found as a person who followed it to be very honest about what, as people who work in synagogues, you have your official supervisors, and then you have every congregant and every person who might become a congregant. You have a lot, you're answering to a lot of people, and all of those people think they're the only one making a request of you, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, something like that.
I believe we had a tweet about that at one time that was like, something about working at a synagogue feels like you have like 1,000 bosses and all of them want their event to be at the top of the newsletter. Nobody wants to be last. And you're like, somebody has to be last.
Right. And so you work together at the same synagogue. Did anyone ever correctly suspect the two of you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think anybody ever suspected both of us. Maybe Caroline, maybe I'm wrong. A lot of Caroline's, our common friends thought it was she and asked her many, many times. I don't know that I was ever directly accused.
Ellie, you were accused by our clergy.
Well, that is true.
They were like, this is Ellie. And I was like, hello.
Yeah, that's true. They knew right away. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So they recognized the writing style.
Yes.
But Ellie, you're not on Twitter at all, right?
Correct.
And Caroline, you are. Yeah.
Yes, I am on Twitter. I have a personal Twitter account.
Okay. I think that's why I assumed it was like Kate Caput at the URJ. Mm-hmm. She is someone who's just she was like top of my list of people who, like, she's got the network, she's a social media person, it kind of fit her vibe. And so she was the one person I thought for sure was involved.
Well, that's a compliment, because we think she's awesome.
Agreed.
part. I thought when you first announced there was a link to a consulting page.
Yes, Caroline and I are in the process of transitioning out of our current roles and into a new consulting company that we have started together. And the overlap of that is a little bit coincidental that Rogueshul is ending and this new venture is beginning at the same time. But sometime in 2021, we will be full-time consultants.
How exciting. So was Rogueshul how you found out that you really had a special working relationship that would work great in consulting? Or were you guys, because I saw, so Caroline, one of the things Rogueshul has said is that you are single and you're looking for a nice Jewish gal.
Yes.
But that person has to have room in their life for your work wife, Ellie.
Actually, Ellie said that. I think we were in the car and I was like, pitch me.
I did add that in. I will admit it freely.
Okay, let's back up. Ellie, when did you start working at this synagogue?
I started at Temple Shalom in 2012 as the director of youth engagement. Most of my career, I worked with Jewish teens all over the place and came to Temple as the youth director. And then I became the executive director in 2016.
Amazing.
About 8 years ago, I started.
Okay. And Caroline, what is your history with the synagogue?
I started at Temple Shalom as the education and marketing assistant in the fall of 2015. So Ellie and I worked together, but our work didn't directly connect until she became executive director and we began to work very closely together. I later became the membership and engagement director, and we worked very, very closely together in terms of membership and administration and all sorts of temple running things.
I don't know if you can separate them. Was it Rogueshul that made you realize together you would be a great team of consultants, or yes.
Yes, I think it was definitely Rogueshul. It has created this ability for us to have a really unique partnership. We only could, in terms of Rogueshul, we could only depend on each other. Nobody else was Rogueshul. Nobody else could be Rogueshul. Nobody else knew about Rogueshul. So it made us really need to communicate like 24/7. Like, it was like anytime we got a DM, we had to strategize about how to respond to it, or there was a theory about us on Facebook, we would look at it together and enjoy it. It brought us together for sure. So
really intentionally creating one voice that was not either of us and a different thing than both of us. And that it, although it didn't feel like work, I think it was work in the beginning of a working relationship and a communication that was incredibly unique. And as it evolved, I think we realized we needed we wanted a bigger, more impactful outlet for that partnership.
I think one thing that Rogueshul did really well is that it showed that the challenges synagogues are facing are national. Mm-hmm. And so I think right away, it probably helped you go from the dance floor to the balcony, where you're like, wait, these problems we're facing in our four walls, people across the country are facing them. And we've learned ways to solve for these problems that we can have a greater impact if we step out of the synagogue.
Yes, yes,
definitely.
Also found a way accidentally to create a conversation.
Absolutely.
People, we thought we were having a conversation with each other that was fun and funny. And what happened was that other people wanted to be in the conversation. And that turned out to be so rewarding and interesting. And it allowed us, I think, to grow as professionals and to deepen our meaningful connection to the work.
What were some of the big highlights of running this account together?
Oh, there were so many. I would say biennial was a turning point when we got to interact with our followers in real time, although we were still anonymous, getting to just experience being in the room with them, so to speak. And we were hiding Rogueshul paraphernalia for them to find, and it just felt very real.
Yeah, that was something where I was,
you know, having, I didn't attend the biennial, but having attended so many big conferences, the fact that you were able to leave swag around and not get caught was, I thought, remarkable.
Thank you.
That was all Caroline. I wasn't there.
Oh, you didn't. You weren't at biennial this year.
I was at NADA, and then I came back to Boston. So Caroline had to carry all the weight, and she was amazing.
That is really fun.
It was fun.
Did you have some viral tweets that caught? What was maybe the first thing that got traction that you were like, "Oh, what's happening here?" Do you remember?
The very first one was about, it was right before High Holidays last year, and it was about being nice to school staffers and the way that they were interacting with the world that week, and basically was like, give your school staffer a shout out, or your rabbi, or your clergy, or your ED. And a bunch of people were like, yes, I'm feeling this. We're having a hard week. That was the first one that got a lot of traction and sort of picked up, but there were a few along the way. There was one about education during COVID, about kids learning the Via Hafta, and about it not being about whether they learn the Via Hafta, but whether our synagogues are safe and loving places for youth to grow. Yeah. That one really took off. And a lot of people have shared with us that they used that tweet as their intro to the religious school year for parents or for educators. Or it was, I think, in an ARJE slideshow at some point. Like, it kind of was in a lot of different cool places that had higher impact than just retweeting.
Ellie, what were some highlight tweets or moments for you?
There were a few things that went a little haywire in a wonderful way. We did a made up trip to New York City with a group of made up confirmation students last October. And we spent the entire weekend chronicling this trip. And we were able to create these personalities for them and interactions and incredible moments and discoveries that was really quite special. And there were people that whole weekend that were sort of hanging on with us with this story. It was lovely. And coming out of the world to be able to amplify what teens are capable of, even if they were made up kids, was really quite fun.
That's so cool.
That might have been my favorite moment.
Because there were some hard moments, too. This is a funny one from October 2nd that fits in what I was going to ask about, where Mara Wilson said, I did not anticipate myself becoming this popular with rabbis. And you retweeted her and said, please, no one, what about the cantors, her? Which, yeah. It did seem like you guys came under fire from cantors. Maybe it only happened once, but it seemed like it kept happening.
It did happen a few times, and we appreciate cantors a lot. We never meant any ill intent, but there are a few moments where we would speak about rabbis and people would kindly remind us that cantors experience those things too. And that sort of became kind of a trope. We leaned into it because it was fun for us. Like, I think there was one shout out later that we were like, shout out to the rabbis and the cantors and the educators and the cantors and the youth professionals and the cantors and the administrators and the cantors. And it just became a little fun goof.
In our real life, we have an amazing cantor who works incredibly hard and is fully present in clergy. So in our real life, that's not the case, but it was a little fun to poke fun.
Yeah.
We did have a mug that said cantors are clergy too. That really took off.
Did.
Yeah, you guys had some really good swag. I love the, you had the unmute your Zoom or mute your Zoom one that like was backwards so it would read right on the Zoom.
Yes.
Which was fantastic.
Yeah, I have a particular pet peeve about people who eat during Zooms and chew. And so that was really, I just made it for me. But it did.
Jewish Society for Ending Teen Obligatory Participation.
Yes, that was fun.
Is that when people were like, oh, the teens can do it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Instead of hiring wait staff for the annual dinner, we'll just get some teens to do it.
Yeah. They can use it for service hours. Exactly. I've heard that. And so how did COVID impact when did your synagogue close? When did the building close? The synagogue didn't close.
March 13th. The synagogue 8 months ago tomorrow. Yeah.
Wow.
Have you guys been working remote the whole time? Have you snuck into your offices? My assumption is you're still not doing services in the building, but it could be a bad assumption.
We were working remote for a while. I mean, all the staff are still pretty much working remotely. There were some outdoor ceremonies, B'nai Mitzvah, and we have been in and out of the office here and there, but largely the building remains closed. Steam
by any means. And it did become harder to creatively come up with the wacky things that happened in an office when the office was closed.
Yeah, that I can imagine that gets a little bit trickier.
Our inspiration dried up after, 5 or 6 months of working in our dining rooms.
I think you guys did such a good job of providing a voice. And I think really, and why I said earlier that it was clearly a reform, when you guys would talk about anything that had to do with like the reform platform, interfaith families, Jews of color. Mm-hmm. I felt like you were so good at in a non-preachy way, preaching the platform of the reform movement. Does that sound weird?
That's a no, huge compliment. Thank you.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Oh, I remember one. I think you guys retweeted or quote tweeted me. I had a board member who his audacious hospitality was like unrelenting greetings. Yes. Or something.
Yes, I remember that.
Yes.
And then then people were riffing on like other ways of misunderstanding audacious hospitality.
Yes, that was fun. We enjoyed that part of like, what could this be a meme? Of like, what would happen if we played along with this and encouraged other people to contribute?
Yeah, there was a whole string of those. That was really fun. I remember that day. Unrelenting welcome, something like that. It was very
something
fun.
Like that. Yeah. Which I was just like, it's the best interpretation of audacious hospitality I've heard yet. What is the future of the account?
We don't totally know yet. We anticipate that we will slow down, but maybe we'll still have something to say occasionally. Knowing that the voices now belongs to us and not to anonymous rogue shul has some impacts for how we speak and what we can say. Even the past few days, like when we had a little rogue shul happy hour and we tweeted about it, and I was like, oh, this is weird because this is our voice, it's not rogue shul's voice. So there's like some adjustment period that will happen there, but I envision we'll still have something to say here or there.
Yeah
I mean, some of the fun that we had was around kind of taking text or taking holidays and putting a funny spin on it. And that all is still possible. Caroline tweeted a couple of weeks ago about, does anybody want to smell our special lemon? And I cannot stop laughing out loud about that. I think it is so funny still. And so there are things like that that are, that we can do in our own voice that are still funny. We did some things about biblical characters that were pretty funny. Some like if they were singles ads, what they would say.
Yeah.
Singles ads.
J-date. Not
anymore. I'm dating myself. Yeah. J-date. So I think there's maybe still some humor in there. And definitely there's love to be shared. We have such admiration and like a dear place in our hearts for our colleagues and our congregants and the people who create powerful moments. And I am not ready to give up sending out that warmth for sure.
We were always pretty cautious to keep the platform pretty straight forward in terms of like snark and a little bit of sweetness. We did get a lot of messages from people as we started to gain followers of like, will you advertise my program or whatever else they wanted to blast to the Jewish community. And we really didn't for the most part. And we probably will keep that the same.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Agreed.
That makes sense. Cause what my immediate reply was like, I mean, when you started it, you did not know you were going to open a consulting group.
Correct.
But if you had known, I don't know any marketers that would have been like, well, first, I want you to stay at your jobs and invest 2 years in a Twitter account, anonymously building community. And then open a business on the
right.
But you have
in the middle of a pandemic.
Post-election. But I think you have, you know, once, I mean, biennial's canceled already, but the doors it opens for you, I think is tremendous because you have the relationships and it's going to open doors for you for the next couple of years that you're going to be. Yeah. We're the consultants who ran Rogue Shul.
That's awesome.
Right.
You know, I saw that you're doing Shul Cloud consulting and I think there's so much interesting work there about, you know, we've been talking about like, should Chicago synagogues be, or should Reform synagogues be doing more of sharing back office? You know, why do we all try and do it on our own? And I think that one, you've built such a strong brand that's going to open doors for you, that people know that you're knowledgeable. You have a clear understanding of professional boundaries, which might sound snarky when I say it, but you never said anything that was hurtful, fireable, that broke confidence. I think you have built yourself a platform that's going to be really strong when you're ready to go full force into your new company.
We hope so. If I think about like the trajectory of Rogue Shul to our new company or to this moment, now in hindsight, I can see, and I'm only speaking for myself, I don't know if Ellie feels the same way, but I can see that when Rogue Shul began, I was looking for something else, like a creative outlet or something that I wasn't getting in my work, or maybe I wasn't challenged enough or was feeling a little bored. And that was where all that creativity went into the side project that then became something so much bigger. And I think you have to have that, you know, that sense of wanting to do more and investigate more and to talk more about our relationships in the Reform movement in order for you to see yourself in the bigger picture of it and not just at your local temple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I was looking to have the feeling, you know, when everybody gets together with their whole family and they have one crazy Aunt Clara and she is just wacky and does nutso things, but everybody loves her so much that it wouldn't be the holiday without her. That's what I wanted. We did a tweet early on about a woman who was stealing smoked fish from the Oneg table. So that never happened. That was never a thing. We don't serve fish. But I wanted to love that woman and have her be this crazy character in our synagogue that, you know, God bless her. She's stealing from the owning again, but somebody give her a ride home. I really wanted that experience. And so we kind of grew it.
Yeah. That I'm a little I'm a little choked up thinking of Goldie, who was Goldie was this fabulous woman at our synagogue who passed away a few years ago, who she read the Jonah Haftarah every High Holy Days with gusto. She wore like big gold jewelry, a giant chai that like Kosha Dills would wear. And she filled up her pockets at the Oneg table every week. So like, I know exactly who you're talking about. And she was such a wonderful woman.
Yes, and there are those people all over synagogues, and in every single day they're there, you know, whether it's like the B'nai Mitzvah student who was really difficult to work with all along the process and then is so sweet to his sibling on the Friday night before his service. Like, those things all happen every day, and we are so lucky that we get the privilege of seeing them, but even more lucky that we got to be the people who shared them with the world anonymously and allowed other people to sort of see their work through that lens and to look for those moments of sweetness and holiness and joy among the stress.
Yeah. And just accept that there are, that those same people who we love say frustrating things and make, you know, insist that they fax us a form. We don't have a fax machine. Yeah. We don't. And that is irritating and also hearing and wonderful. And that really is the work. It truly, truly is. And there's no way to have expressed that as ourselves, because it would have been too loaded. You had to make it all obviously make believe. That all became very real.
Yeah, there's no way for you to say those things publicly as the executive director of like a large Boston synagogue.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
And not have it, not have donors come back, not have people come. Yeah, absolutely. You can't. Those are things that you can't say in that position.
Even if it were acknowledged to be made up in the moment, it doesn't matter. You know, people then get lost in the reality of it. And what we wanted to do was for everybody to see themselves. We wanted to paint a picture and have you see Goldie in that picture.
No, I think you absolutely did. And I think that you'll find, and people will find working with you in the future, that you're able to bring that knowledge of what can happen within one synagogue and how it's universal, and how do you take your best practices and help other synagogues change their workflows and what they're doing. It's really exciting.
It is really exciting. I feel really blessed that we get to be the people who have been on this journey and who have experienced this.
Amen.
I just think I think that you guys are going to fill a nice gap that's somewhere in between boards thinking they're the only people who have ever faced the problem and full on having to call in Amy Assen and doing, right? There's somewhere between we're doing it alone and Synagogue 911 at the URJ. And I think you're going to help those boards and staffs a lot.
Hope so.
Thank you.
I don't remember if it was our director of operations that introduced, was like, Leah, have you seen this account? Or I don't remember which way it went, but it became a shorthand between me and our director of operations. So I think you've built relationships with people who are also future decision makers at their synagogue and organization.
I love that.
Was that Jessica?
Yes.
So she and I last year we planned NADA together.
Oh.
She didn't know it was me, but I was planning NADA with her.
What a small world. Yes. Now it all makes sense. She was telling me that she was working with someone who knew someone from my hometown.
And yes,
she didn't say Klein to me. So I was like, I don't know any Goldmans from Terre Haute. Yeah. So we didn't quite get there, but she tried to tell me that we knew each other.
And as soon as you followed us, I knew who you were because Adam had have to get in touch with my friend Leah, but I could never say like how many people are from Terre Haute, right? So I had to wait all this time. We were out. Yeah.
So you have a copy of my Hanukkah book, right?
No.
Hanukkah on Miller Drive.
Oh yes, I do. That's you?
That's me.
Oh, but yes, I do. Adam. Yep. I'll share it with Caroline.
Yeah, I would love to see it.
So there is in between our houses, in between the McDonald's and Deming Park, there was this cul-de-sac in Terre Haute, Indiana, called Miller Drive, that was like the destination for Christmas decorations. And when I converted my, and we went growing up all the time. Everybody went. And when I started converting, one of the things my dad said to me was, huh, what would it be like if like you moved to Miller Drive? And he's the one who like came up with the idea of how all the neighbors would bring you Christmas lights and would just assume you're going to decorate for Christmas. And then you would put a menorah up, but not the Christmas lights. And then I do a giant, the party in the book is the party I do every year with my friends, which is the Saturday night of Hanukkah. I have a massive blowout party that starts at like 4 p.m. and goes until people leave, because the people with toddlers come in the beginning. And so the party in the book is the party that I throw for my friends. But the idea of what would it be like if a Jewish family lived in this Christian neighborhood of Terre Haute, Indiana, that came from my dad.
That is awesome.
That's so cool. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it's all coming together.
Yeah. Before we get to closing up and what would you like to promote, Caroline, make your pitch. What are you looking for? Who are you looking for?
Yeah, this is your moment.
Thank you. I am looking for a nice Jewish woman. I think that she's out there in the reform movement. I'm 27. I live in Boston. I would prefer to date somebody who lives in Boston or somewhat locally. Someone who is funny, someone who's charming, somebody who can ride along with all of my crazy ideas, like starting a Twitter account for things that could potentially get you fired. someone who says yes, doesn't necessarily have to, I mean, maybe ideally isn't a Jewish professional, but I'll take it. I wish I could give you a more specific detail, but I think I'll know when I meet her. But I would just say, if anybody out there is listening and thinks that they're the one, please reach out.
All right. And so what is your Twitter account, your going forward Twitter account?
It's Caroline S. Dorn.
So people should follow you there and make their pitches.
DM me, whatever.
Yeah, slide into your Instagram. DMs.
Yeah.
You've given consent.
I do. I give full consent.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I did get a couple of messages after we sent out that looking for a nice NJG, but a few I think misinterpreted and thought it was guys, and I had to break a few hearts.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I thought like one of the things that shows what you've built with the community is how many people were like, clarifying question.
Yeah.
Which way is, what G is that? Like, right. I saw a lot of people not make an assumption, which I think that says something to the crowd you've built.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. It's such a nice community of people who also were like, yeah, we can do this. Like, let's find you a wife.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, what is Jewish Twitter for if not ensuring continuity?
Right.
If that's what comes out of this, it will all have been worth it.
Yes. Absolutely.
We're all invited to the wedding.
You might want to actually, the wedding will be after the vaccine comes, and the weddings that are post COVID are going to be massive blowouts. So yeah, everyone can come. And now you know how to do a Zoom wedding.
Right.
I'm sure you've run a few Zoom life cycle events at this point. So
we did
the right time strategy group. Is that it? Real time strategy group is going to launch in 2021, but people, should they email, I'm on rtstrategygroup.com. Should people email you, get on your list? Is there a, how should people get in touch to know about the official launch?
So we are actively working with some clients now, and we're just ramping up our client load as our work at Temple Shalom transitions out. And our emails are on the website, and we would love to talk to anybody. We're doing some small projects, some big projects. We have a couple of congregations on retainer, a couple of staffs that we're doing workshops with, a lot of Shul Cloud training. And we would love to talk to absolutely anybody.
Great. And what are, you guys have so many great workshops on here. A spreadsheet can solve that. I love yes. it. Data is for everyone.
Uh-huh. BCC is your BFF is my favorite.
Oh, I drive my board crazy when I blind copy the board group. And I'm like, I want you to reply only to me on this one.
Uh-huh.
So
that's what makes you a good synagogue president. Among other things, that is essential.
My lack of patience for reply all chains. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you speak our language.
Yeah. So then you've also got learning to listen with intention, difficult conversations in the art of apology. So is one of you more the spreadsheet data Shul Cloud person and one of you more the like EQ teamwork person, or do you feel like you both cross over these?
I think we definitely both cross over. Ellie is a spreadsheet yeah. wizard. Nobody in the world knows more about Google Sheets and Excel than Ellie, but she has taught me a lot. And both of us are equally knowledgeable about Shul Cloud, although there are certain parts of it that, because of the nature of our work, we're stronger at. But both of us can go in between like the Shul Cloud data spreadsheet stuff and the listening communication, professional integrity, like all of the more emotional capacity of it. And I think Ellie's, I don't want to speak for you, Ellie, but I think particularly your work with teens has informed that.
There are things that each of us love, workshops or teachings or approaches that are just dear to us. But what we have found we really like is the collaboration of developing those courses or the slides or the approach together, and bringing each of our voices to it.
I am just so excited for you.
Thank you. We are so excited.
How are you guys winding down 2020? Or is it gearing up for 21?
Well, I think I'll be homeschooling 3 kids and and trying to hold up a synagogue office from my dining room. So that'll be fun. Getting to work with some awesome clients and a great work wife.
Yeah, I am starting to see the beacon of hope in 2021 with our new president and potential vaccination news. And I know that we are headed towards a difficult winter, and I'm bracing myself for that and hoping that there's some room in there for joy and for connection while we all sort of band together and wait this out. We're all going to need each other more than ever. It's not going to get easier right now. And I think the communities that we've built both within the reform movement and within our individual local communities and to some extent within Roke Shul are going to be what is going to help us get us all through.
Absolutely. I even though we are not yet even to the darkest days of winter, I already know this is the winter that we need Hanukkah the most. That we need to see that light grow. It's going to be an important year for Hanukkah. Well, Ellie and Caroline, thank you so much. This has been really fun getting to know you.
Thank you so much for having us. This was fantastic.
This was such a treat. Thank you. I'm so glad we got to meet you face to face.
This is the best thing about Twitter.
That's right.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Thank you for listening to Finding Favorites with Leah Jones. Please make sure to subscribe and drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Now, go out and enjoy your favorite things.